Windows. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
What page do you have?
Turn to page 894. It can't hurt. And then to 686. It can't either hurt. It will come to. It will come. It come to nuts. We'll definitely take it into consideration. Ezra, not Ezra. Pinchas.
Pinchas. Why are we in Pinchas?
It's Yom Tov about Rosh Hashanah.
What was the other page you said?
690 something.
686.
694.
684, 686. 686. Yeah. Okay. Now, we will concentrate on this dispute, which is introduced to us by the Gaonim. In the Gaonic era, before the Rishonim, there was a major discussion.
What year was that?
That's taking us back over 1,000 years ago. If it's preferable for one to fast on Rosh Hashanah, and not just is it preferable, it may even be a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah, or dafke, it isn't preferable to fast on Rosh Hashanah, and it may be prohibitive to fast on Rosh Hashanah. This is brought to our attention by, it's like I say, in the responsa of the Gaonim, which is accessible today. We have their responsa, we have their writings. It's a lot of it is compiled in the Sefer Oitzer HaGaonim on Masechet Beitz Adaf Tezvov, where there the Gemara introduces a pasuk which we will soon deal with and treat, please God. And also in the Rishonim, at the end of Mesichta Rosh Hashanah, in the Mordcha, and in the Rosh, and in the Tur, and in the Shulchan Aruch, in Erechaim, Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Simen Tov Kuf Tzadik Zayin. Now, the earlier Gaonim, meaning as for instance, Rab Sar Shalom Goin, and Rab Tzemach Goin, even before Rav High Goin is popular, Rav Sadji Goin is popular, these Goinim are mentioned from time to time. But these Goinim are from the earlier period, the Kadmoine HaGoinim. They were established institutions, Botei Medrash, schools of study, houses of study in Bovel, one in Sura and one in Pumpadisa. So the Goinim from Sura were of the opinion that it's a mitzvah to fast in all of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, in all of the 10 days of repentance. So there's another word in English for it. How do they call it?
Days of war.
No. Basically, okay. The 10 days of Tshuva, which the 10 days incorporate also the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and the day of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur we fast. But it also incorporates the Shabbos Tshuva or Shabbos Tshuva. We know Shabbos Tshuva has two names. The Shabbos in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Some call it Shabbos Tshuva because it is on the, we name it the name of the Haftorah. We say Tshuva Yisrael, El Hashem Elokecha. So therefore, the Shabbos is called Shabbos Tshuva. Some call it Shabbos Tshuva because it's one of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. There are different expressions found in the Poskim in relation to the Shabbos and between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So there's a school of thought of the Gaonim of Sura in general that they were of the opinion that it's a mitzvah to fast all of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva all across, all both inclusive, the days including Shabbos of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva and also the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. It's a mitzvah. Epipashtus, the simple reason is because there are days of awe and there are days of judgment, etc. So therefore, that would be suitable, fits in just the right thing. It's a mitzvah, etc. And I haven't really seen the actual, I've just seen the quotes. You have to go through the response. Okay, we're going on further. So like I say, it's quoted in short and these other svarim. The school of thought of Pumpadisa, they are the like Rav Haigoin and Rav Sadya Goin in his commentary in Ezra. They are of the opinion that nothing doing. Aseres Yemei Tshuva, fine, except for Shabbos Tshuva, or Tshuva, except for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Definitely not to fast on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. There is a compromise introduced by one of the Goinim of in Surah, and that is Rav Natru Noi Goin. And he says that we should fast in the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, even the Shabbos of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, but the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Due to the fact that the first day is Midoraisa, it's biblical, therefore the first day of Rosh Hashanah we shouldn't fast. But let's just go back to the opinions, the Goinim will argue on the original Goinim. In other words, Rav Hai Goin and Rav Sadi Goin. They claim that we should not fast on Rosh Hashanah. Those who are, claim that it's a mitzvah, and it's preferable, definitely not, they say. And Rav Sadi Goin actually expounds, that he has a lengthy exposition, and he says, it's refuted from the Torah, and from the Navi, from the prophets, and also from the Chazal, from the sages. Now, let me just bring to your attention, I'll soon bring to your attention. Okay, so what if there's something involved you? And he says as follows. Number one, he says, because due to the fact that we find that the Torah parallels the Rosh Hashanah with other Yom Tovim, and just like on the Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast. And on the Yom Tov, you're not allowed to fast. Definitely, you shouldn't be fasting on Rosh Hashanah, because it's Yom Tov, etc., etc. So there's a prohibition to fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The same prohibition should apply to Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Just because it's a day of judgment, and it's the days of awe, nevertheless. Number three, because number two we're going to concentrate on. Number three, because they say, he brings a Talmud Yerushalmi, it says in the Jerusalem Talmud, the Masechta Rosh Hashanah, it says that other nations, when it comes to the Day of Judgment, they dress in black, and they weep, and they cry, and they, how do you say it, you know, etc., all the type, they wail, etc. Mashenkin, the Yidden are definite that Hashem will give them a definite positive judgment, and therefore Yidden in advance already on Erev Rosh Hashanah, they prepare themselves for the day of judgment, which they're sure that Hashem will give them a positive, good year, and therefore they meant to take your haircuts and prepare yourself, dress nicely for Yom Tov, not in sacks, God forbid, like you do on days when you fast, etc., and we eat, and we drink, and we rejoice, because we're positive that Hashem will give us a definite, positive, good year. Okay, so it says in Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud. So that's the second one, the third one actually, and then from the prophets, what from the prophets? It says in Nehemiah, okay, Ezra or Nehemiah, however it's related to, however they relate, different ways of relating to it. In Nehemiah Ches, it says clearly that Ezra says to the Jewish people at the time, this was the day of Rosh Hashanah, etc., and he says to them, Vayemer Lahem, it says in the verse, in Nehemiah Ches, verse Tes, Vayomer Nehemiah, etc., of Ezra HaKoyen, Hayoi, Kodosh Shul Hashem Elokeichem, today is a day holy to Hashem, that's the Rosh Hashanah, Kiyem Rosh Hashanah was Rosh Hashanah day, and he goes on to say, he says, you know, don't, Al Tisablu, you should not mourn, you shouldn't cry, etc., Vayomer Lahem, what then? Luchu, go, Ichlu Mashmanim, Ushtum Amtakim, go eat meat, like a good steak, yeah, or shtum amtakim, drink sweet drinks, foods, honey, and drink, yeah. Because it's a holy day consecrated for Hashem, etc. Therefore, don't be the alte atzevu. You shouldn't be depressed. Because the might we have, the strength we have, is being rejoicing in Hashem, etc. That's the day of Rosh Hashanah. So you meant to eat and drink and rejoice. So there's a clear-cut pasuk in the Nehemiah saying that on Rosh Hashanah day it says Ichlu Mashmanim Ushtum Amtakim, etc. Okay, now, so this is what Rav Sadi Goin says to the original Goinim. What are you saying? There's a mitzvah to fast. It says clearly we should eat and drink. Now, the fact is the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, now we come to the Shulchan Aruch, the final ruling in the Shulchan Aruch. The halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is Siman Tov Kuf Tzadik Zayin is very obvious. That we eat and drink, and we don't fast, and like the Balatan, the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch Siman Tov Kuf Tzadik Zayin makes it very clear. And even though Yesh Oimrim that it's a mitzvah to fast, ain halacha kein, the halacha is not so. It's a mitzvah to eat and drink, etc. Nevertheless, don't get carried away with the food and drink, because after all, it's the day of Rosh Hashanah and so on and so forth. So it's different than every Yom Tov, where there you can eat and drink and be jolly. Today, you have to know that it's the day which days of awe, but you may definitely, it's definitely a mitzvah to eat and drink. Now, that's the halacha. The Shagas Aryeh, Okay, the well-known Goin Shagas and his Sefer Shagin and his Sefer Shagasari, which he already from the Achronim, and who he so to speak wraps up the halacha. We were speaking already about the Shulchan Aruch, but he's after the Shulchan Aruch, and he's conveying the message. He has a length. He has an exposition, discusses the issue of the mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. In other words, in addition to the mitzvah of eating and drinking, there should also be another mitzvah of rejoicing on Rosh Hashanah. Just like on all the Chagim and Moedim, there's a mitzvah of Vissamachta Bechagecha, we should rejoice on the Chag and the Moed. The same should apply for Rosh Hashanah, that there should be a mitzvah to rejoice in addition to eat and drink. Now, when it comes to the eating and the drinking, he says one of the major questions he uses, in other words, of Rav Sadia Goin, he doesn't quote the Goinim, maybe if he definitely does, but I mean to say, he uses this as one of the forceful refutes to the original Goinim. It's a clear cut pasuk, it says, L'chu ichlum ashmanim ushtum amtakim v'shulchum, yeah, etc. Eat and drink, clearly on the day of Rosh Hashanah, it's a pasuk. Verse, clearly straightforward. Same goes for the Vilna Goin and his Bir Hagro, also when he's establishing and substantiating the halacha that we eat and drink, it says clearly in the pasuk. So we see, obviously, like the Goinim are refuting the original Goinim, and the Achronim already substantiate that the halacha is definitely we should eat and drink, but we substantiate it, it's very well substantiated, from this verse. Doesn't seem like a way out. There's no way out.
What year were the Goinim that refuted the original Goinim?
They were all in the same, just a bit, how many years later? In the same time, the same area, the same period, but later. Yeah, of course.
What,
definitely so.
Later,
I can't tell you definitely.
Well, it makes a difference.
No, but not much later. Not much later, we're going on. Not much later. Not much later. But they were later. Let's go on. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Of course it makes a difference, but now time doesn't allow to really get into it. So excuse me if I raised it and made you a little, you know, got you thinking of those lines.
You made yourself.
Yeah, no, but we're going. No worries. L'chaim. Okay. Beseda, before it's weiter. Just for a moment, to go off on a tangent, I mean, we're not treating the mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. Even though the Shagisari says it's the mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, and Simin Tov Kuf Chav Tes, in the Halachas of Yom Tov, where it says that there's a mitzvah, where he records what it says in the Rambam, in Hilchas Yom Tov, Perek Vav, Hilchas Shvisas Yom Tov, where the Rambam says that it's a mitzvah to rejoice with Samachta B'chagecha on all the, on Pesach and on Sukkis and Chol HaMoed, etc. Etc. So the Rav, the Alter Rebbe, and the Shulchan Aruch records this Rambam. Nevertheless, he says, but there is in all these Yomim Tovim which isn't in Rosh Hashanah and the mitzvah of Simcha. In other words, the Alter Rebbe paskens beforeish is no mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. There's a mitzvah to eat and drink, and he quotes the pasuk to eat and drink. This pasuk, lechu ichlu mashmanim ushtum amtakim, but it's totally segregated from the separate additional mitzvah of Visamachta Bechagecha, because Visamachta Bechagecha is saying that we have to rejoice, which says, basically it's based on what it says, initially, Visamachta Bechagecha refers to the Shalmei Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, on Pesach and on Sukkot, they used to bring a korban, Shalmei Simcha, right? In addition to the Chgiga and the Riyah, etc., they brought a Shalmei Simcha. This was brought only in the Sholosh Regolim. A Shalmei Simcha was not brought on Rosh Hashanah. B'meila, therefore, the pashtus, based on that, there's no... So even though nowadays we have no korbonos, there's no sacrifices, it nevertheless, it expresses itself in a must to drink wine on Pesach and Sukkot and Shavuos, and also it's a mitzvah to eat meat, even though we don't have sacrificial meat. Nevertheless, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, there is no korban, there's no sacrifice which was brought especially for the simcha, for the same... It follows on, for whatever, without getting involved in it. The Alter Rebbe says there's no mitzvah of simcha per se, meaning that we have to drink wine as on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. There's a mitzvah to eat and drink, because it's Yom Tov, like every Yom Tov, but the mitzvah of Visamach HaGecha, that, to have to buy jewelry for the wife, and to have the kids rejoice and buy them their wants and needs, and everybody should be in a joyous, and rejoice, the mitzvah of Visamach B'chagecha per se doesn't apply, which, by the way, just a personal experience, I once related this, and this is which occurred with me, personally, when I first arrived in Melbourne, so I stayed for some time by a Rav Geroner, Sr., Olav Ashon, in his home, for about a half a year, until we found a flat to settle in. So my wife was related to Rabbi Geroner, he was happy to have us, he brought us out, etc., etc., good. So we were there with our first baby, with Rivki, and we stayed there, and it was a fantastic experience with Rav Geroner for about a half a year. The Iker. So one weekend, I don't remember what year it was, but it was the first year, I mean, that time, that period. Was it when we lived there, or maybe we were invited then? I don't remember exactly what it was. But Harav Zsolti, Olav HaShalom, he was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Tzal Zsolti, Olav HaShalom, visited Melbourne.
I know that year.
Okay, so that first year was the first year of the... It was the first anniversary of the Yeshiva Kollel, which the Yeshiva Kollel made a dinner. And he was brought out to be the guest speaker. So he stayed in Rav Groner's house. And he was, Rav Groner was his host.
And then when he went to Sydney, he stayed in my dad's
house. Okay, interesting. Tough. So, it so happened to be that because I stayed in Rabbi Groner's house at the time, so after a day of study in the Kollel, I came home to Rabbi Groner's home, and I come in, and Rav Zsolti, chief rabbi of Jerusalem, is sitting there. So, of course, he asked, what did you... He was a real slobotka. He was some yid. He was a fire. He was fiery. He was murdik. He was gewaldik. He was a big Talmud Chochem, and he was a gewaldik yid. Open and friendly. And that Friday night, oh boy, was it a Friday night at the Shabbos table. He spoke about all the Gdoli Yisroel throughout the generations before and after. And Alam and Avigamacht. He shot everyone down. Cold. Gewaldik. Knockout. He was a gewaldic yid. He was special. But Cholayfa, listen, tire yid. So he asks me, so, you know, was the time, Chadish given or whatever? So I told him, Gerada, luckily, I learned in Kollel a chiddush of the Rav, the Rebbe Shechon Orach, whatever, and I conveyed it to him. And after that, he appreciated it, he liked it. It was like something novel, because it answered a toast this, whatever. It was an interesting discussion. And then at the end, I say, ir bring them Rav Shulchan Aruch. I was like a bit of, I wouldn't say whatever, but I allowed myself, we got friendly, and we discussed. So I allowed myself to ask the Rav. He had Svorim, published Svorim. He edited Svorim. He wrote Svorim. I have Svorim at his home. Mishnes Yavetz. His Svorim, Mishnes Yavetz. Three big volumes on Halacha, Erechaim, Yerideh, Ebenezer, Hashemish, but whatever. Yeah, I don't know if he has an Ebenezer. Whatever. And we use it. And the beautiful Svorim. So I asked him. I wasn't acquainted so much with the Sefer at the time, but I knew he wrote Svorim. So I asked, on Irbrink, I didn't say the Rav, whatever I said then, on Irbrink them Rav, do you quote the Rav Shulchan Aruch? Isn't what he says. He says, yeah, ein mol und ich frag him up. He quotes him once, and he refutes him. That's what he ends until today, you think. So I say, Vos. So it was connected to Rosh Hashanah, and it's Taki in a Sefer. What is it? He discusses if there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, and he brings the Rambam, etc., and he has a certain implication, he implies something in the Rambam to prove from the Rambam that there is a mitzvah Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, in addition to Pesach and Sukkot. And then he quotes the Rav Shulchan Aruch, and he says, the Rav Shulchan Aruch brings the Rambam, and nevertheless he says, there's no mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, but Tzorachi and Godel. So he quotes him and he refutes him. Okay, so I'm standing in front of him, and I didn't really, wasn't involved in that those topics and that issue at the time, but I heard what he said, and guess what went through my mind? I says, Halavai, ich soll zeuche sein, I should merit that the day should come that I should write Chiddush Torah and refute him. That's what went through my mind, and I'm being honest, that's exactly what went through my mind. And therefore, all the years, it was stuck in my head, what he told me, because it was a very interesting experience with me, because I was still young, and, you know, very, you know, whatever, and he's this powerful yid who's just, like, overwhelming. You know, and if you thought Rav Groner was overwhelming, in his body-wise, he wasn't, he was, like, a tall and broad, but he was something. Iker, powerful. So, and Baruch Hashem, thank God, I have Baruch Hashem Chiddush Torah on Hilchus Yom Tov. And luckily I found not dafka my own Chiddush. The Aderes, who is known to be one of the Gdoli Yisrael from Ponovich and Mir, in other words, it could be they didn't get on with the Slobotka, but he himself was a Litvak, and a big Goin and a big Talmud Chacham. He brings this Rambam, and he dafka claims that from the Rambam, Rav Zsolti thought, is a refute to the Rav, Shulchan Aruch. He dafka learns this Rambam, and he says this Rambam is a support for those, he doesn't quote the Rav Shulchan Aruch, but a support for those who say that there's no Chiyuv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah, and that's a problem for them, etc. So that was good enough for me, that this Rambam is not so vimizotis gefährlich. It was only based on his implication in the Rambam, and I just felt better about it. Anyway, that's just by the way. So I have my lichtigen Ganeden und seiner Militiosche, und ich bin sicher, es ist mir Meuchel. Okay. And we're going on. The Iker, So the inyan of the mitzvah of simcha definitely borders with the iser tainus. It's self-understood, but dafka, if we say that there's a prohibition to fast, nevertheless it doesn't oblige us to say there's a mitzvah simcha, right? Like we see clear from the Rav Shulchan Aruch that he says definitely there's a prohibition to fast, right? We don't follow that, we don't follow that ruling. Nevertheless, there's no mitzvah to rejoice. They're two separate criteria, two separate issues, two separate sugyas, two separate topics, two separate halachas. Let's just go on. Now,
what's the mitzvah of
shtiyah
in
achilah
if not simcha?
What? The whole simcha is only in achilah u'shtiyah. In other words, the mitzvah of simcha is a mitzvah per se. Yeah. You have to rejoice. It's expressed. Now, the simcha is belev, by the way. The ikar simcha is belev. Rav Soloveitchik has an arichus about this. Amacha b'chagecha, you can drink wine from today till tomorrow. But if you don't have the simcha belev, you taka not happy on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah. Because there's a kiyum mitzvah and a ma'aseh mitzvah, right? The criteria of the mitzvah simcha, what is simcha? Simcha is a mitzvah shebelev, right? So you can do the act of the mitzvah, it's expressed in drinking wine. You can drink wine from today till tomorrow, but if you're going around with nazarot yomtiv, and you're really not happy because it's yomtiv, and Hashem's yomtiv, and Hashem gave you yomtiv, nothing to do, you haven't really fulfilled your mitzvah, because the kiyum mitzvah is belev. Except this kiyum mitzvah, which is belev, also has an expression in the ma'aseh. You get it? Now the achilu shti on Yom Tov, right? On Rosh Hashanah is the whole. So that's the mitzvah of simcha. Now there's no mitzvah of simcha belev on Rosh Hashanah. Faker, belev in your mind and in your heart, you have to be in awe of this day, which is Yomim Noroim. Norvadem is a mitzvah to drink, not to fast. But there's no gather of simcha there. Chedas Hashem himo'us, it says. Right? The chedas to be mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not your personal simcha. Not a simcha, etc., etc. Okay, just that quick, just off. I believe you picked up what I'm saying to a degree. All right, we're going on. Nevertheless, even though the halacha is that there is a prohibition to fast and there's no mitzvah to fast, it has the opinions. Those who have the opinion that it is a mitzvah to fast, it is actually not totally written off, it's not a total write-off, it's incorporated in the poskim. In other words, it has an expression in halacha in a practical way, even for us who follow that the halacha is that we mustn't fast. And this is, as a for instance, two for instances, they're very practical. One is not so practical, one is very practical. One which isn't so practical is, for instance, this is what the Ramos says. In Shulchan Aruch HaRechaim, Yisim Tovkuf Tzadik Zayin, I think it's Siv Gimel, says the Ramos that the halacha is if one had a bad dream the night of Shabbos or the night of Yom Tov. So the din is, you have to
fast.
There's a din of a ta'anit cholim. You fast. You have to fast to, so to speak, to fix up the bad dream, right? You fast. So the din is you have to fast just immediately thereafter. When is the tannis, so to speak, heal the bad dream? When it's ka'esh l'na'oiris, when it's immediately done, immediately after the bad dream. So therefore the fellow chooses to fast for his bad dream he had Friday night or Yontif night, and he fasts on the Shabbos day or the Yontif. So the din is, when he does that, he has to fast a ta'anis l'ta'anisoi. Because after all, he didn't eat on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Even though for him the fasting was an oinig, but you meant to eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov, not meant to fast. So even though for you it was a tiny, because you canceled out your bad dream, that's not good enough. Therefore, you have to fast on Sunday because you fasted on Saturday. Okay, you get it? That's the din. Tainis le ta'anisoi. A ta'anis for the tainis to fix it up. But, says the Ramo, in the case where, if God forbid, Rosh Hashanah night, there are many halachas about dreams on Rosh Hashanah. Take out a Shulchan Aruch, see interesting things about it, whatever. But if a fella had some kind of weird dream on halachas, another a dream which the Shulchan Aruch obliges you to fast, so to speak, right? Discussed in Hilchos Shabbos, whatever we're going on. So therefore, the fellow fasts, chooses to fast on Rosh Hashanah because of the bad dream he had the night of Rosh Hashanah, to fix up, to heal the bad dream he had. So there, says the Ramo, he mustn't, he doesn't need to fast on the day of after Rosh Hashanah, a fast to fix up this that he fasted on Rosh Hashanah, due to the fact that there are opinions who say it's a mitzvah to fast. So therefore, in such an odd situation, we can rely on those who say it's a mitzvah to fast. So there we see that even those opinions, even though the halacha is that it's not a mitzvah to fast, but we incorporate and we rely on them, and we shouldn't need and oblige them to have to fast another fast afterwards. That's one expression. It's not so practical, thank God, because about the dreams, I don't know who's a dreamer, who dreams. Okay, I had a dream, wow, good. Yeah?
I dream.
Lahavdil. You dream? Good. Okay. Good dreams. Like Yosef HaTzadik. Okay. Good dreams.
Amen.
Okay. Chalma Tova. Okay. Good tachalomis. Weiter. What about Bobby, Mommy? You want to used to put you in bed? You say, no, get the chalomis, you should have good dreams. See the chalomis, get the chalomis, whatever.
There's a bracha you make in front of three...
Correct. Yeah. Thank God I never did it. So don't talk to me about it. I don't want to... Usually you dream about... We talk about it by day, so I don't want to talk about the dreams. Let's go on.
I nearly said on a base dinner, did it, but...
All right, not so bad. It's in the Siddur. Hatovas Cholom, okay. Another practical expression, that is in Shulchan Aruch, Erechaim Sim Kuf Pei Ches, and that is, we know the din is that on Shabbos we say, incorporated in the benching, we say Ritzei. After we ate the bread, we wash, we're benching, you have to say Ritzei on the Yom Tov, we say Ya'ala V'Yovoi, right? Mm-hmm. We say the Ya'ala V'Yovoi also on Rosh Hashanah, right? So the halacha is as follows. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, if you forget to say Ritzei or Ya'ala V'Yovoi, so you can make it up by saying the bracha after, there's a section over there, before you start off the fourth bracha, there's a part which we can make up for it. You can fix up after you said, before you start the fourth bracha, there's a thing. If you chapsich and realize that you forgot to say Ritzei or Ya'ala V'Yavoi, there's a section of the Siddur, the standard Siddur, which you can make up. This that you missed out the Ritzei or Ya'ala V'Yavoi. Once you say Boruch for the fourth bracha, nothing doing, you have to bench again. Okay? Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, the din is Rosh Chodesh. If that happens, you don't have to bench again because you didn't have to eat. When do you have to bench again? Well, you had to eat. And because you had to eat, you have to bench. And because you had to bench, you had to say Ritzei and Ya'ala V'Yavoi. So if you didn't say Ritzei and Ya'ala V'Yavoi, you have to say it over. But Rosh Chodesh or Chol HaMoed, there's no obligation to have to eat. So if the fellow chose to eat, and if he gets the Ya'ala V'Yavoi, he doesn't have to bench again. What happens Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, if he forgets to bench, to say Ya'ala V'Yavoi. So the din is, if he says, B'nei V'racham B'vi Yerushalayim Amen, and he realizes at that point that he hasn't said Ya'ala V'Yavoi, he can still make it up and fix it up by saying that section of the bracha, which is in the Siddur. But what happens if he starts Boruch? What do you do then? So here we have an interesting argument. The El Yerabba, one of the Achroni G'dolei Aposkim, right, quoted in the Mishneh Berurah, if I recall correctly, the Mishneh Berurah is not Machria, doesn't actually tell you a final ruling, it just quotes the opinions. So the El Yerabba is of the opinion that you have to bench again, like on every Shabbos and every Yom Tov, because you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. And the Mata Ephraim, who is the known final ruler, so to speak, in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, he passes, you have to bench again. Rosh Hashanah is like every Yom Tov, because there's, you know, a lot of fast on Rosh Hashanah. That's halacha, we just finished saying. A lot of fast. The Mogen Avraham says, Moshe Kapoyer. He says, listen, definitely you have to make sure not to forget it. And if you forget it, you can make up for it. But once you start the fourth bracha, don't go back. Don't bench again. Because it could be a shaila of saying the bracha in vain. Because there is an opinion, even though the halacha is that we don't have to, We're not allowed to fast. But after all, there are opinions who say it's a mitzvah to fast. And because there are opinions who say it's a mitzvah to fast, I've been brought to Slohake. And I'm on a bench again. So therefore, it's a shayla of the benching. So the Mogen Avraham and the Alter Rebbe in the Shulchan Aruch passed like the Mogen Avraham, that you're not allowed to go bench again. Just, this is what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Nevertheless, in the Siddur, he makes a distinction between the night and the day. He says, by night, you must bench again. By day, you're not allowed to bench again. He makes a chilik in the Siddur. That's the way he's machri in the Siddur. So it's a chilik between the night meal and the day meal. Seems like the night meal definitely is a prohibition of fasting. The mitzvah hesano is the mitzvah to fast will only incorporate for the day. It's a separate discussion now. I just want to bring to your attention that it's very obvious that even though we've negated the opinions la halacha, that there's not a mitzvah to fast, we're not meant to fast on Rosh Hashanah. Here we have some practical application of those opinions who say there is a mitzvah to fast. We're moving on. Now, going back to this verse, this pasuk, Rav Sadia going, Rav Hai going, and the Achronim, the poskim, the Maisa, right? The Shagasari and the Vilna going, claimed it's a very clear, straightforward pasuk saying, Ichlu mashmanim, ushtum amtakim, eat and drink on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And like I say, the Shulchan Aruch quotes this pasuk, by the way, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Gimel, if I recall correctly, where the Shulchan Aruch says that we should eat sweet foods on Yom Tov. They quote this pasuk. It says, Ushtum amtakim, drink dvash, honey, and sweet foods. That's why we make carrots, simis, whatever, right? Adale and yonin, etc. And also meat, which should be as a juicy meat. That's the ichlum ashmanim, right? Etc., etc. Okay. So definitely it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, but here we have that these poskim say this is a basis to refute those opinions who say that we're not allowed to fast, that it's a mitzvah to fast. You're not allowed to fast. It says you have to eat and drink. Now, there are what I've, I didn't investigate this much besides the Rogachover, but I've seen in a sefer called Truas Melech, one of the Gedolei HaAchronim from, and his name is Zusmanovich, from the Lite. So he says an interesting word. He wants to say, he has a lengthy exposition on this. He quotes the Shagasari and the Vilna Goin, and he quotes this Pesuk, and he says, what do we do? After all, it's an Eisenach. How can you even dare to think that there is a mitzvah to fast when the Pesuk says eat? So he wants to make a, such a distinction. He says, you should know, in the days of Ezra, the Beis HaMikdash stood. There was a Beis HaMikdash. So that Rosh Hashanah is different than our Rosh Hashanah. Our Rosh Hashanah, there's no Beis HaMikdash. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Korban. There are no Korbanos brought on the day. It's merely a Yom HaDin. The only thing Rosh Hashanah for us is that it's a day of the judgment, right? Sure, we have to be in awe, we have to eat, drink, but it's a, we have to be in awe. In the days of the, when the Beis HaMikdash stood and there was a Beis HaMikdash, we also brought Korbanos. So when Korbanos are brought, due to the fact that it's also, a, in addition to the Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment, it's also a day which Korbanos were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, that in itself prohibits us from fasting, because it's a day of Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, when Ezra says, go eat and drink, because there was a Beis HaMikdash and there were Korbanos brought. Masha'en came nowadays, so therefore don't say, therefore the Go'inim can claim that it's a mitzvah to fast, because nowadays it's a mitzvah to fast, because it's merely and primarily a Yom HaDin and there's no meaning of Korbanos. That's what the Sefer Truas Melech wants to say, and he has a lengthy discussion on this, etc. So whoever's interested, check out the Sefer is available. It's, yeah. Okay. The Rogachover. The Rogachover has something very, very, very original there. Now, this is really dependent very much on a lengthy theory of the Rogachover found in a couple of his Svarim, etc., without needing to quote it. Which Svarim? Baruch Hashem, I have this shayla, this response, which was published in 1965 in Jerusalem, is a sefer from the Rogachover, a response from the Rogachover, which in this, there's a response to Rav Kasher, but nevertheless, in other of the Svarim, he discusses it and he says it that he speaks quite clear here, but it's based on a lot of his a lot of theories of the Rogachover, so therefore we're really scratching the surface, so please be so kind and excuse me if I'm not going to cover all of it. We'll just really concentrate just on this little section about this pasuk. The Rogachover going quotes this pasuk, and it's like an obvious problem which he's disturbed with. He says, what's going on? How is it tak? It's a mefurish pasuk, ichlu mashmana yishtu matakin, and nevertheless the Goinim say it's a mitzvah fast. What's going on? He wants to say as follows. Listen to what he says. He says, not just is there no contradiction from this pasuk, there's a proof to them from this pasuk. There's a proof to those who say it's a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah, dafka from this pasuk. And listen to the way he learns. He claims as follows. Listen to what he says. He first introduces for us a Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam. Now this Pirush HaMishnayos LaRambam, this commentary of the Rambam, In his statement, the shita, this what the Rambam states in his commentary on the Mishnah. Now we know very well the commentary on the Mishnah. He at times follows along with his commentary on the Mishnah. He wrote this as his, one of his first svarim. He wrote this proceeding to his work on the halacha and the sefer Yad HaChazaka, the Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah he wrote in Hebrew. All right. He penned it in Hebrew. The commentary on the Rambam he wrote in Arabic. Therefore, the commentary which we have nowadays, which has been reprinted and published in Varsha or Vilna throughout the ages, which Gdoli Yisrael had access to, was a translated text of the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah. Right, and there were great Jewish translators who had an understanding in halacha, right, and also an understanding in the Hebrew language, and in the Arabic, and knew the Arabic. And therefore knew, understood what the Rambam is saying, and therefore translated it, and that's what we have it. The problem is, due to the fact that the it's all based on translation, and sometimes the translation lacks in its precision. So therefore, when the Rambam penned it in Hebrew, definitely every word and every iota is precise, and therefore Gedolei Yisrael go to town on every iota and every extra letter or on every extra word or every expression and every
nuance
in the Rambam. Masha'enk in the Pirush HaMishnayos, we can't do that. And the same goes for the Mor Nevuchim, because the in his guide to the perplexity also, and the same goes for the Sefer HaMitzvos. His Sefer HaMitzvos he also wrote in Arabic. The same goes for the guide to the perplexity wrote in Arabic. The same goes for the commentary on the Mishnah. So there lacks precision, and therefore, very often, frequently, we'll find certain statements which don't coincide with what he writes in the Sefer Yadah Chazakah. So there is an approach which says, we have to try to reconcile it. Some say maybe he's written it earlier, and therefore he's retracted. Some say because it's in Arabic and this is in Hebrew, therefore it's a fine detail, right? So therefore they say, maybe it's not the lacks precision, so therefore we don't know how to treat it. Okay, here we have an interesting Pirush HaMishnayos LaHaRamba. And this is as follows, and you'll soon appreciate why I introduced to you why it was written in Arabic and maybe there lacks precision. But the Mishnah says at the end of the last Mishnah in Masechta Tainus Perek Beis. The Mishnah says with the Masechta Tainus, attracted Tainus deals with Ta'aniyos, right? The fast which have been introduced for when there's a lack of rain, etc., etc. So therefore, the Beis then introduces seven fasts. We fast the Monday, the Thursday, and the Monday, etc., etc. Bahab. As known, we have the slichas in the back of the siddur. Okay, we're moving. The Mishnah says, "Ein goizrin tainis alat sibur b'rosh chodesh ubechaneko ubepurim." The Mishnah says, "We don't. The Beis Din does not initially establish. You're not allowed. It's prohibitive to establish and oblige one to fast on a Rosh Chodesh day, a Chanukah, and Purim." Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, "V'im hischilu." But if they started to fast on these days, ein mafsikin, they don't stop. They don't cease. You may continue on fasting. Now, what's going on here? Asks the Gemara, let's see what it means. Says the Gemara, what's the... Now, v'im ischilo ein mafsikin. Now, first, what does v'im ischilo ein mafsikin mean? If they started to fast, we don't stop. We must finish. In other words, we don't cease. We don't stop. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says, there's an opinion that we don't have to actually complete it totally, the whole 24 hours. Let's move. Im ischilo ein mafsikin. That's the question. So, according to the Rashi and the Tosfos, this refers to the Rosh Chodesh. If we started to fast on the Rosh Chodesh, okay, even though it's Rosh Chodesh and we shouldn't have, nevertheless, ein mafsikin. What does the im ischilo ein mafsikin mean? Says the Gemara, what is the amount of haschol? What does it mean? Im ischilo. So, there's a machlokes between Rav Acha and Rav Asi. One opinion says, achas, achas, says the Gemara. And another opinion says, I think the first opinion says sholosh, and then says achas. One says three, and one says one. What are we talking about? So Rashi says, what does three mean? It means as follows. It means that the fellow, we have already fasted three fasts. In other words, we're talking in a case where the Beth Din didn't actually say fast on Rosh Chodesh. No one would even dream to say that. Beis Din knows that you can't establish a fast day to make a person down the straw fast on Rosh Chodesh. You don't fast on Rosh Chodesh because it's called Moyed. It's called like Chag and Moyed. So even though it doesn't say Yoy Mishnah V'Simcha, says Rashi, but says that on Purim, nevertheless, it's Moyed. And because it's called Moyed, therefore you're not going to fast on a Rosh Chodesh. What then? What's the meaning of Imischil? They started to fast, says the Gemara. It means, according to Rashi, they fasted already. In other words, they established, because there's no rain, you have to fast a series of fasts. So it happens to be the series, so that we fasted a Monday, we fasted a Thursday, and the following Monday. And it so happens to be, they direct, indirect, thereafter, there's a Rosh Chodesh. Right? Ah, so they established the need to fast, and we already fasted three fasts because of the need of rain. So then we say, Im ischilu, if they already fasted three fasts because there was a lack of rain, therefore, ein mafsikin. So even if the Rosh Chodesh comes in on the next Monday or the next Thursday, we must continue, and we're not mafsik. We don't cease to fast on Rosh Chodesh. But definitely, there's no question that they didn't establish the fast on the day of Rosh Chodesh, because you're not allowed to. It goes without saying. There's no room for that. Okay, the halacha is achas, that even if one fast, the Rambam paskens that way in Hilchas Tainius, Perek Aleph, I think halacha zayin, I don't remember exactly, something like that, Perek Aleph, maybe Perek Aleph halacha zayin, but that's the Pesach halacha and all the Rishonim, that even if one fast was already, we already fulfilled one fast was already, Chachamim the Bezdin said, you have to fast because there's a lack of rain, etc. So we fast one of the fasts, and Rosh Chodesh happens to come around, so we continue on, even though Rosh Chodesh, in other words, but initially, definitely, everybody agrees we don't establish a fast on that day. Okay. Here comes the commentary of the Rambam. The Rambam says, in his commentary, V'im hischilu, shor achas. If you started and fasted 1 hour, ein mafsikin, you continue on completing the fast. Shor achas. Not talking about days, not talking about three fasts, Monday, Thursday, and Monday. We're not talking about one of the Monday to Thursday or one day or one complete fast before. We're talking about if you fasted an hour. Listen, what does it sound like? The Mishnah says, now let's put that back in the context of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, we don't fast on Rosh Chodesh. Right? We mustn't fast on Rosh Chodesh. So Beis Din doesn't establish a fast on Rosh Chodesh. But v'im hischilu, if we started to fast for an hour, we fasted already an hour, you have to complete the fast. So if that's, so it seems according to the Rambam, we're not talking about days. It seems like the Beis Din actually established a fast day on the Rosh Chodesh day. Right? V'im hischilu, and the Mishnah continues on saying, if they started to fast, meaning the haschola. Now the Gemara says, what's the haschola? Achas. So achas would mean not one complete fast day before the Rosh Chodesh. It means an hour of that Rosh Chodesh day. That's the way the Rambam learned in his commentary in the Mishnah. Okay? Which according to that, what does three mean?
3 hours.
And so says the Ritva. He does show your Ritva in Masechta Tainis. And also the Melech HaShleim in his commentary in the Mishnahs. He says, yeah, if one, says the Rambam, is 1 hour, so three means 3 hours. That's the argument. Oh, it's 1 hour and 3 hours. Says the Ritva, nothing doing. What's going on? What kind of pshat is that? How can you say that it's talking that he fasted an hour of the Rosh Chodesh day, and the Mishnah is saying that if you fasted an hour of the Rosh Chodesh day, you complete it? The din is that you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. According to the Rambam, it comes out, and according to his commentary, the guy, we didn't establish the fast before the preceding Rosh Chodesh. It seems like the Beis Din established the fast on the Rosh Chodesh day, right? So in Mischila we say, if you fasted 1 hour after they demanded of you and obliged you to fast on this day, you have to complete the fast. But how is that possible? You can't fast on Rosh Chodesh. So what's the pshat in this Rambam? One moment. Then he says, what's going on in Bechlal? What's the difference if it's 1 hour or 3 hours? What's that all about? Where's the logic there? If Rosh Chodesh had a lot of fast, right? So he says, if a person realizes after an hour of the 3 hours that it's Rosh Chodesh, you got to stop immediately. In other words, if the majority of the day still remains that you hadn't fasted, because it's a Rosh Chodesh day, just because the Beis Din established it, but because they established it wrongly, you definitely have to cease fasting. So he says, what is 1 hour make a difference if it's 3 hours? And if it's 4 hours, says the Ritva. And if it's 4 hours, what's the difference? Majority of the day is still Rosh Chodesh. So you should have never established initially to fast on this day. If they did, you have to cease, stop fasting. So I don't know what's the pshat in this Rambam. Says the Ritva, to'o sofrim. He says, Pashat kipshuta, it's a misprint. And you see, we can easily say that. Not out of the question, because we're talking about, you can't easily say that the text edit, the Rambam's original text, to say it's a misprint, God forbid, right? It sounds like very clear that the Ritva has this translated text, because he says, Shoah, that's right, okay? And therefore he says, definitely, so he has this translated text, and he knew very well that it was written initially in Arabic. So if there's a Loshna Rambam, which seems to be totally illogical, and doesn't fit in with the Gemara, so he says, definitely, Tol Sofrim, everything, nothing fits, it's definitely a misprint, right? Something's wrong with it. It's a mistake. In other words, the translation must have been wrong. That's something like that. And he corrected it. He says you have to read it as if it was written Ta'anit Echad. That makes sense. Well, in other words, they established a delicious fast. And if we fasted a full, complete time before Rosh Chodesh came about, so then we continue on even though Rosh Chodesh comes about thereafter. Yafeh? Good. Now, I just want to say as follows. Guess what? The Rogachover Gaon doesn't make no Tol Sofrims. He goes to town with his Pirush HaMishnayos. He loves it. He substantiates it. Von alle Seiten. And he quotes it all over the place. All over the place. He quotes it in his response and he quotes it in his Madura Tinyana page 54 and 142. And he quotes it in his Sofonos Panech on the Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin, I think in an Halacha Tezayin. He loves it. And he says, long this. And Daphne, with this Pirush HaMishnayos, he's going to fix up the Goyinim. And he says, all the Goyinim who said that it's a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Chodesh, on Rosh Hashanah, learn like the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos. So the Rambam Pirush HaMishnayos is not just his own. The Goyinim also learned that way. The earlier Goyinim. You'll soon say, hey, what he says. But I just wondered, so I saw in the new translated, listen here carefully, in the new translated texts of the Rambam of Pirush HaMishnayos, and that is the first translation, which was, so to speak, made a revolution in the translation of the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah, right? Which was initially in Arabic, and the translators, you know, lacked precision, etc. So the first one was published in 1963 in Yerushalayim by a Yid called Rabbi Yosef Kopach. That's called the Kopach edition. There are three volumes published by Moshe Darav Kook. It's obtainable today. He claimed that he had the Ktav Yad, the manuscripts of the Rambam in Arabic. And they had it in Yemen, in Taman. And they learned it together, they studied it. And he knew Arabic azoy metala pichavkis, with all the fine nuances and details. And therefore, he came and revolutionized the whole commentary of the Rambam and the Mishnayos, and he translates a total new translation. So, anyone who wants to study, now, you have to understand, it was a bit controversial. A lot of people don't go for it. The yeshiva shevelt, so to speak, doesn't go for it for many different reasons. I don't want to talk about it. But just by the way, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zchusi Yogan Aleinu quotes his commentary. He always is very careful to quote both. In other words, the usual known text published in all the Shasin and the Mishnayosin, the known one, the published one which everybody accesses, and also will bring to our attention the way it's translated, if there are differences, the way it's translated by Yosef Kopach in his edition. Okay, now, let me just bring to your attention, nowadays, a couple of years ago, in Bnei Brak, so the yeshivish world, the yeshiva world already, so to speak, is coming closer to accept a new translation, even though they don't go for new things, only because the translator is Harav Koirach, who learns in Ponevizhe Koil. So that's why it became kosher. Kopach was unkosher because he's from Yemen and whatever, and he was so and so and so, whatever, let it be. And therefore, they koshered a new translation. They incorporate his also, but they also had the manuscripts, and therefore translated. But again, the beauty of these two texts, the new text, which is about 8 volumes, Baruch Hashem, I bought it, and it's a gewaldig tayre zach, and published by Mochon Hamor from, I think he's in Harnof, whatever, Ayid, Achoshav Ayid. They do publish gewaldig things, good things, and there are a lot of beautiful cross references, etc. They do good work. The same goes with Kopach's edition. So anyway, both editions are gewaldig, but of course, to pass judgment, in other words, or rulings from Pirush HaMishnayos, it's commentary number one, you can't pass rulings, but to have a better to crystallize the issues, definitely it's wonderful to see all these editions. Now, in these two editions, they make it very clear that in the original manuscript, they quote the Ritva. The Kopach doesn't quote the Ritva, but these fellows do quote the Ritva, who says it's a Torah Sofrim, and they taka say, in the original manuscript it was written, Tanis Echad, like the Ritva. Now, if you take your standard edition of the Pirush HaMishnayos, you'll see a note, an edition on the side, around the word Shoachas, it says, Uberitva, Tainis Echad. Correction, they wouldn't erase it, because they're not sure. But Kopach, and also the Korach edition, claim that in the manuscripts, okay, it is written, Tainis Echad, like the Ritva corrects, right? Okay? Now, nevertheless, the Rogatchover going, yeah? No question, yeah? Goes to town and makes an issue of the text, which reads Shoachas, which the Ritva claims is wrong, right? He most probably saw the Ritva, okay? I would believe so. Yeah, it's Alasar. By the way, the Gvura Sari, the Shagas Ari in the Sefer Gvura Sari on Tainis also finds it problematic. Quotes the Pirush HaMishnayos, finds it problematic. The Shoachas, he didn't have the manuscripts. He didn't see Kopach, right? He didn't see Korach. Nevertheless, but the Rogatchover going, right? Not shy that he was misled anyway, right? HaKadosh Baruch wouldn't mislead him. Whatever he says is Teras Emes, right? So I wondered what's pshat. It bothered me a little. They're showing the manuscript, say Shoachas is wrong. The Ritva says it's wrong. They say there's no rationale. And the Rogatchover comes up and he says, listen, I found the gewaldike thing. And this is a very important lesson to know how to treat this kind of issue. Listen here. You have to understand, sometimes the original manuscript, there is an expression, platas hakulmus. When someone's writing quickly, Right? So you just write things, you know, by mistake. You're just like the pen spat it out, so to speak. It wasn't intended, right? It just happened. Sometimes you type quickly, so there's a mistake, right? A typing mistake. Unintended, right? Plates acumus. The pen did it unintended. The fellow wasn't even concentrating, wasn't paying attention, right? When you have something written somewhere, right? And it's, so he says, to suffer a misprint. Now, either that means it was translated wrongly, or Pashut, it's a printing error, right? Definitely not intended by the Rambam, right? That's basically what it means. And you see, for the manuscripts, it's unintended by the Rambam. But listen carefully. Listen carefully. There's a gewaltige thing here. Guess what? Kopach claims and Korach claims that there is a Madura Kama and a Madura Tinyona.
There's a what?
There is the first version and the second version. Not Testament. First version and second version. In other words, the Rambam himself wrote in the first version Sholachas. You hear that? And then there is a Simen Mechiko. There's a sign where the Rambam erased it, and there's a correction in the manuscript, Tanisecht. Listen carefully. What about it? So what does it mean? Listen, I'll tell you what it means. And that's why it's totally different than the way I presented it to you in the first place. And that's why I appreciate what the Rogachover is doing. Either way, I appreciate it. But especially in the light of what we see here. Listen, it's very late, and I don't know, you'll have to excuse me, but I'll try to make it quickly. But I just find it very interesting, and it's gewaltig. And that's why I brought you this sefer. Listen here. In Tovshin Chofhei, in 1965, the Rebbe's mother, the Rebbe's Chussi and Elenu's mother passed away. 1965. Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik from Boston came to be Menachem Bavli. Condolences, yeah? And there was a discussion in Torah, as much as is allowed, whatever, and they spoke about the din of an oinen, an intense mourner, an oinen. And the question is, the period, when is one biblically an oinen for? Okay?
What?
When is, there's a mourner, right? The mourner is for 7 days, and then 30 days, and the year. But then there's a criterion, halacha, a description called oinen. Oinen means he is in intense mourning. There's a special halachas for the oinen. And that is only a short period of time. Before the mourning period starts, the mourning starts, M-O-U-R, right? To mourn, yeah? It starts after the burial. Okay? After the burial, right? Correct. Etc. So there's no mourning then. But when is the status of oinen, intense mourning, which is before the mourning period? So listen here. There's a machlokes harishonim. Some say the oinen segment, right, goes for the whole day, the fellow died by day, that whole 24-hour period. Okay? That's the accepted opinion, right? There is an opinion who says that the oinen is only up to the burial. Okay? That's an opinion of the Rosh and the opinion of Rashi. Questionable, discussed, etc., etc. So at this session where Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik comes to console the Lubavitcher Rebbe, so the Rebbe discusses the oinen, and he says there is a Rambam. The Rambam says that the oinen is only up to the kfura.
Up to what?
Up to the burial. Now Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik was known to know the Rambams on his fingertips. Lubavitcher Rebbe did too. Says Rabbi Yoshe Ber, Nishdo Azar Rambam. No such Rambam. You have to understand, for someone to say there's no such Rambam, he has to be an authoritative to say there's no such Rambam. But Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik was able to say it. He's told the Lubavitcher Rebbe there's no such Rambam. And they were friends, they got on, etc. Whatever, to a degree. Okay? So, the Rebbe says, in Pirush HaMishnayos, in the commentary of the Rambam, in other words, it's not in Sefer Yad HaChazaka in his code, in the Mishneh Torah, but there is a Rambam as such, in Pirush HaMishnayos, in his commentary on the Mishnah. Conversation ends there. So the way it's recorded, okay? After the Rebbe's mourning period, in other words, after he gets up from Shiva, and like Erev Sukkos, he sends a letter, he pens a letter to Rav Soloveitchik. And he tells Rav Soloveitchik as follows. The Rambam is found in the commentary of Mishnayis, a Masechet Dmai. There it is clear that the Rambam says that it's only till the burial period. One is an oinen. And then the Rebbe, he ends the letter and talks about something else. At the end of the letter, it seems that the letter was like still like, you know, still like not wrapped, not closed off yet, still sitting on his desk. And then the Rebbe adds, just now, I noticed, in other words, maybe some time later, a couple hours later, whatever, I just noticed that in Kapach's edition, this new translation of the commentary of the Rambam, there is a simin mechiko. There's a sign with the Rambam seems to erase that. And he says it's the Yoim Hamisa. It's only for the full 24 hour. It's for the full 24 hour period, not till the burial. Basically, what the Rebbe is doing with Rav Soloveitchik, and someone once said this to me, an interesting thing, you know, someone else, if someone would disprove you, if you weren't an honest Talmud Chacham, you just prove yourself. You don't have to prove the next person right. Yeah? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe should have just said to him, you know, I'll prove myself right. Because there's a clear commentary of the Mishnayos of the Rambam and Mesechta Dmai. You take out a standard commentary of the Rambam on Dmai, you'll see what the Rebbe said. So he substantiated himself. No, he didn't just do that. But it seems that Rav Soloveitchik was referring to the code of the Rambam, right? The Rambam said for Yad HaChazok. And the Rebbe was talking about Pirush Mishnayos. He should have said, I found it. No, but the Rebbe was an honest Talmud Chacham and brought to Rav Soloveitchik that Rav Soloveitchik is also right, even according to the commentary, because based on the correction, he's right. Ended. Conversation ended. The letter is published today in volume 23 of the Rebbe Igros Kodesh. Listen, but the same day, he sends a letter to Rav Zevin, Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, who is the editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudis. Okay, and there he says to the editor of the Encyclopedia Talmudis, he says, "You should know, I didn't notice that in Erech Aninus, in the section under Aninus, which is dealing with the Ne'oinein, that you should quote the Rambam's Pirush HaMishnah, is the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah. Because in all editions of the Rambam's commentary, it's there. You should have quoted it incorporated it in your encyclopedia. Why isn't it there?" Okay. Rav Zevin sends back, and the Rebbe adds, it's just that in a Rav Kapach's edition, it's erased. Rav Zevin sends back a letter to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The editor of the encyclopedia sends back a letter to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he says to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's the reason I didn't incorporate it. Why didn't I incorporate it? Because it was erased. So the final opinion of the Rambam is that it's for the full 24-hour period, like he writes in Sefer Yad HaChazaka, like he writes in his Mishnah Torah. Now, between me and you, I don't understand what he's talking about. I'll tell you why. That's between me, but the Rebbe didn't discuss it with him. I'll soon tell you what the Rebbe said, and that's relevant to us. The first edition of the Encyclopedia Talmudis was printed in Tavshin Tes in 1949. Kopach's edition, where there's the erase, was printed in 63. So I don't know what Rav Zevin is saying. Do you get it? He didn't write it in the 49 edition. So basically, maybe he had access to that original manuscript. Don't know. But that's, nevertheless, listen what the Rebbe says to him. The Rebbe just addresses what he answers him. The Rebbe says, listen, you have to understand, it's not that it's not there in the Rambam's manuscript. It is in the Rambam's manuscript. And you must say, says the Rebbe, it's just erased. First the Rebbe puts a big question mark on what Kopach writes, the Rambam erased it. How can you prove that if it's just a simon mechika? How do you prove it? It's like, so to speak, the Rebbe would like to see the manuscript to prove that it's the Rambam erased it. It's just a cross, like he just crosses it out. From a style of a letter, you can prove what the Rambam's writing is, right? But from to erase, you have to know that that's the style of the way the Rambam erased it, right? So the Rebbe has a question mark on that, but Kopach says that the Rambam erased it. Let it be like the Rambam erased it, yeah? Nevertheless, the Rebbe says, look, it's not that the Rambam didn't write it. The Rambam wrote it, and then erased it. And the Rebbe says, look, interestingly, in all the published editions, only this original one was published. So it seems like for generations, this text was there, and all the Gedolei Yisrael used the original text. Just that in the later days of the Rambam, you have to say, the Rambam, so to speak, came to an understanding that, no, he doesn't accept this opinion. So here we come to this conclusion. Basically, what the Rebbe is saying is when there's an opinion introduced and erased, even by the Rambam, so it remains a Madura Kama and Madura Tinyona. You cannot say, therefore, the first opinion is erased. If it's a mistake, a proven mistake, right? Or it's a misprint, so then the first opinion is erased. It never existed. It was just a platus accumulus, right? Just a pen spattered out. It's a mistake, the typewriter, the secretary. But if it's obvious that the Rambam himself wrote it, right? And then erased, and we see in all the published versions for generations, only that one's available, right? So it's very clear that that was there, and we studied that, and we accepted that as his opinion. So you can't just negate it in total. It means there's a time in history where we accepted that was the opinion of the Rambam. So in final, the Rambam reneged on that opinion. But that opinion remains an opinion in Torah. So there's a Madura Kama and a Madura Tanyama. There's a Madura Kama, meaning version 1, and then version 2. But you can't say version 2 erases version 1. In his mind, yes, but in Torah, it's a Madura Kama. And we find Madura Kama. You find the Rashi Madura Kama, right? Rambam at Rashi, the Rashi we have in our Shas is the Madura Shlishis, the third edition of Rashi. He wrote them 3 times. We have the third one. Frequently, Tosfos quotes Rashi, and we don't have the Rashi. We're looking for the Rashi. Where's the Rashi? So the Mefarshim explained that Tosfos had original editions of the Rashi, which isn't the third, right, which we have, and therefore discussed it, because if it's originally written by the Rashi, even though he edited it and amended it, but the first one is a Madura Kama, a Madura Tinyona, etc. The same goes for everything that way. So it's very important to know why, so to speak, what exactly occurred in the stages. So he tells Rav Zevi that's not good enough. He should have nevertheless incorporated it in his encyclopedia. Ended there. I want to just go back to the Rogachover, and I'm going to end. Oh, it's so late. So the Rogachover, basically the Rogachover treats it. We're going back. The Rogachover definitely takes this Rambam at face value, that it's Shah Achas. What's Pshat? We have the Kasha of the Ritva. How can you establish a fast on the Rosh Chodesh day? Excuse me, please. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
My leave time.
No worries. Here. Okay, Shah Achas. What's Shah Achas? What's going on? How can you establish a fast on the Rosh Chodesh day? Says the Rogachover going as follows. Elul. We're talking about the Rosh Chodesh, sorry. We're talking about the month of Rosh Chodesh. The Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, right? The Rosh Chodesh we're talking. Im ischilo, im sanin, im afsiki. If you start fasting on the Rosh Chodesh, we can't fast initially on the Rosh Chodesh. We don't establish fast on the Rosh Chodesh. But if they started to fast according to the Rambam for an hour on that day, we continue on fasting. Okay? What's going on? Says the Rambam. You should know that in general, every month, legally, right, the way it is, has 29 days in the Hebrew calendar. That's the standard, right? We can have something that's called a choser, right? It's a short month, they translate it, right? A short month. A short month is 29 days. The 30th day becomes the first of the new month. So in the Hebrew calendar, in general, that's the way Al-Pirov, a majority is that way. Frequently, at least, whatever. Anyway, it can be either or, right? So we have months which are choser, and that means a short month, and then the new month starts on the 30th day, and it's 29 days. Then we have a mole, a full month, which the month means it has 30 days. The 31st day is the first day of the new month. We don't have 31 days in the Hebrew calendar. That's only in like March 31st, August 31st, whatever. Yeah, etc. Yeah, we're going. Okay. Ended. Says the Rogachover going as well. So listen very carefully. Says Rabbi Chavez as follows. Hello. Listen here. Now, Rosh Chodesh, you're asking, how can it be we start fasting on Rosh Chodesh day? What's the problem? If we're talking about a month which is a short month, how do we have a new month made? The Bezdin, the Eidim come and testify, give testimony, right? The witnesses come, give testimony that they saw the new moon, the night leading to the 30th day. So by day, the Bezin says, okay, we investigate them, we interrogate them, and if what they say they saw is correct, and the suck of the moon, or whatever, depending on how it's shaped, and what it looked, and where it was, etc., etc., so then we consecrate the new month, and we start counting for the new month from the 30th day. Okay? So when did the Edom usually come? When did they come? They came, they could have come at night, they could have come by day, they could come in the morning, etc. So let's go speak about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is unique in the sense that it's Rosh Chodesh, right? So all the Yom Tov, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot is the middle of the month. So we know already when. We're talking about Rosh Chodesh, which is Rosh Hashanah, okay? We're coming after the month of Elul. Now listen carefully. The Gemara says, that me'olam loimotzinu elul me'ubor. Me'olam loimotzinu elul me'ubor.
What's me'ubor?
We never find that the chodesh elul should be me'ubor, pregnant, full, a full month. We never find. Me'olam loimotzinu elul me'ubor. Elul is always a short month. Okay? What's the difference if it's a short month or a full month? Let me tell you. When it's a short month, the rule is that if the Eidim come on the 30th day, so then Beis Din, in order to have the Rosh Chodesh established on that day, Beis Din must say, Mekudesh, Mekudesh. In other words, Beis Din says Mekudesh, and the people say Mekudesh, Mekudesh. Beis Din must consecrate, sanctify the day. Right? That's the only way the Rosh Chodesh becomes a Rosh Chodesh day, if it's on the 30th day. The Mishnah says, does the same apply? There's an argument in the Mishnah, if the same applies, that's the Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Dalet. If the same applies when it is a full month, and that is when the Beis Din, the Eidim come on the 31st day, does that apply also to the 31st day? So there's a machloikis, and the halacha is that no. On the 31st day, it's a different ballgame. On the 31st day, we say it's already kitshuhu min hashamayim. There, even if the Beis Din doesn't say Mekudesh and do not sanctify the 31st day, nevertheless, the night leading to the 31st, the morning, in other words, the morning of the 31st is already Rosh Chodesh, because kitshuhu min hashamayim. No way. You don't need the Beis Din to sanctify it. We need him only to sanctify it for the 30th day, right? When it's a short month and the 30th day, not a full month and it's the 31st day. That's ABCs in this issue. Listen here. When did the Eidim show up? Listen carefully. Says the Rabbi Chover Goin, take out a Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Omid Beis. Says the Gemara as follows. You should know. You know, there's a well-known problem. When it came to Rosh Hashanah Day, there was a problem that the Eidim came late and they messed up the song. Kil Kulu Halavim Bishir. Now, the Gemara and the Rashi says as follows. We know every day we brought a Tomid Shel Shachar and a Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. When we brought the korban tomid, the sacrifice, the oila, in the morning, the shachar in the morning, after dawn, right? After alois shachar. So we brought a tomid shel shachar, and we also have the libations, the wine libations. So then we sing song, the levim said the shira. Okay? Same applies for the tomid shel bein arbayim in the early afternoon, right? We bring midday, whatever, right? It's also before chutzos, after chutzos, whatever at that point, yeah, depending on when. So the ikar is, so then we bring the tomid shel bein, the second offering, and then also there's wine libations, and we sing song. Says the Gemara there, that's the well-known Gemara, that there was one Rosh Hashanah, that the Eidim, the witnesses, came to testify, they came late, they came after the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, and it came to the time of the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, and they didn't know what song to sing. What's the problem? Because usually in the weekdays, there's a standard type of song they used to sing, a section of the Tillim, right, which they used to sing. There's a regular standard kapitlach, which they used to say. On the Yom Tov, there was special shearing for the Yom Tov. We changed the tunes, we changed the passages, the texts of the psalms. We sang the different psalms which we sing on Yom Tov. So therefore, if the Eidim would have come and say that the 30th day is sanctified, right? We would have sanctified it before the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, we would have made it to the Yom Tov. Sang the Yom Tov song, they came after the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, and therefore they didn't know what to do by the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. So there's two opinions. Some say they didn't sing any song at all, it's because they didn't know what to do. Was it a weekday song or a Shabbos song? A Yom Tov song? Excuse me, yeah? Okay. And some say that it was the Kilko Alevim Bashir, they sang the weekday song, and really they should have sang the Yom Tov song, because they ended up coming. Ended. Says Rashi, and the Gemara says Beforish, the Tomid Shel Shachar never had a problem. The Chachamim never established a Yom Tov song for the Tomid Shel Shachar. Never, ever. You know why? Because the Eidim never showed up before the Tomid Shel Shachar. There's always a problem. Maybe the Eidim will make this day Rosh Chodesh. If this day is Rosh Chodesh, it's Rosh Hashanah today. So if it's Rosh Hashanah today, we have to sing a special Yom Tov song when it comes to the Tomid. So before Tomid Shel Shachar, they never showed up. They would usually, so Rashi says, majority of times they wouldn't show up before the Tomid Shel Shachar. If majority of times they wouldn't show up before the Tomid Shel Shachar, there's no need to establish a Yom Tov song. So they always said a weekday song for the Tomid Shel Shachar by the libations. The Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim was the problem, because usually by the time Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim came about, they was there already before the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim. Okay, good. Mechaya, listen. Says the Rogan Shavagar and Tzadis, listen here. Vehim ischilu ein mafsikin, listen here. You know what the pshat of the Mishnah is according to the Rambam? Listen carefully. Her und hört und stoint. Listen. Vehim ischilu ein mafsikin. We're talking about majority of months. What do we say? Me'olam loimotzinu elul mo'ober. We generally, most of the time, Elul is not a full full month. It's a short month. So when is your Rosh Chodesh supposed to be? On the 30th day. When do the Eidim come? On the 30th day after Tomit Shel Shachar. Listen carefully, after Tomit Shel Shachar. Listen carefully. Hello. Yeah, after Tomit Shel Shachar. Says the Rabbi Chavar Goin, and this is his opinion, which I say needs additional substantiation and more time for scratching the surface. Rabbi Chavar Goin says as follows. When the Eidim come after the Tomit Shel Shachar, it doesn't, and they say, and we investigate them, and we interrogate them, and it becomes Rosh Chodesh, and B'meilo Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't work retroactively. It's Rosh Hashanah from this point onwards. It doesn't affect retroactively. It does not. In relation, says the Rogachover, in relation to certain halachas, whatever, in relation to Rosh Hashanah Day. Rosh Hashanah Day, okay? Should have a din of Rosh Hashanah, okay? It affects retroactively legabi other halachas, but not in relation to Rosh Hashanah Day. It doesn't work retroactively. Some Rishonim, many, usually we accept to say that works retroactively, no mafreya backwards, even if they come after the Tomit Shel Shachar on the 30th day, it works from the night before, it becomes retroactively Rosh Chodesh. It shows that from the night before the new moon was there, right? But the Rabbi Chover says, no, it works only from this point onwards. The Mele says the Rabbi Chover, Vim Hischilu, they started to fast on Rosh Chodesh. We ask a question, how is it ever possible that a Yid Nebezin should allow you to start fasting on Rosh Chodesh? What's the problem? We're talking about a month or months where it is a short month. In order to make that month a sanctified month, a Rosh Chodesh month, or Rosh Hashanah, we need the Eidim to come and testify. So before the Eidim come and give testimony, it is just a regular day. So therefore, Hischilu, they start fasting on that day. And then thereafter, the Eidim came. What's the problem? It only works from that point onwards, but it doesn't work retroactively. And at that, the Mishnah says, Im Hischilu, if they started to fast, says the Rogat Shover, says the Rambam, Afilu Shoachas, what does that mean? Says the Rogat Shover, listen here. What is the Machloikis in the Gemara, 1 hour or 3 hours? There's a Machloikis. What are they arguing? How many hours after the Tomit Shel Shachar did the Eidim come? What's the 1 or 3? It's 1 hour or 3 hours. What's the basis of the argument of 1 hour or 3 hours? He says the argument is, what's the meaning in Hischilu? If they started to fast, the heter. We need to work out, what is the heter? The heter is before Rosh Chodesh. So we have to know, when do Eidim usually come after the Tomit Shel Shachar? They came in between the Tomit Shel Shachar and the Tomit Shel Ben Arbaim, but after the Tomit Shel Shachar. So they're coming after dawn, after we already sacrificed, and they're coming thereafter. How many hours thereafter? One man says they came an hour after. One man says they came 3 hours after. That's the pshat of 1 hour or 3 hours. So when the Rambam says in his chilu, shachas, it doesn't mean he actually fasted an hour, according to the Rogat Shover. It means if he started to fast within the hour, and then they came afterwards. In other words, they didn't fast an hour. They fasted within the hour before the Eidim finally came. They started to fast Beheter. So because they started to fast Beheter, they may continue on fasting even though the Eidim are not coming and consecrating this day, sanctifying this day, and make this day a Rosh Chodesh day and a Rosh Hashanah day. But Vibal, they started to fast Beheter because they haven't yet come. It doesn't work retroactively. It only works from here onwards. It's enough seeking. You don't see, so it doesn't stop. B'meila says the Rogat Shover as follows. Listen carefully. The Gemara says, Tosfos says, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Yutes, and Rashi says in Masechta Beyed Avov that Ezra, right? Mimois Ezra Ve'elech, says the Gemara. From the days of Ezra onwards, we don't find Elul should be a long month, a full month. It was a short month. What about in Ezra's time? Says Tosfos, it's clear, and Rashi says, but Ezra himself in his days, Elul was Mo'ubor, was a full month. Okay, was a full month. So the 31st day was Rosh Hashanah by Ezra. We just finished saying, to make the 31st day Rosh Hashanah, you don't need to wait for the Eidim to come. They can come from today till tomorrow. Nevertheless, the first moment of that morning, right, it is already Rosh Chodesh. It is already Rosh Hashanah. Right? So there's no way that we should be able to start fasting Beheter when it's the 31st day of Elul, right? Because it's definitely Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, because Min HaShamayim Kidshuhu. They sanctified it from heaven, right? The Meila says the Rosh Hashanah, oh, you have a kasha on the goyim. How can they say it's a mitzvah to fast on Rosh Hashanah? It says Mefurish in Ezra, Ichlum Hashmanu, Ichlum Amtaki. What are you talking about? They're talking about in a time which we say that Me'olam Elul is not Me'uber. Elul is forever a short month. So therefore we always have to wait for the Edom to come. And therefore we always have to wait for the Edom to come. So there's always a period of time before the Edom show up that there, it is not Rosh Chodesh and not Rosh Hashanah. So if we start fasting, we can continue on fasting. Therefore they say, hey, eat and fast on Rosh Hashanah. Fast. They started to fast. Beheter, and you should continue on fasting. Because after all, it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Adin. Continue on, aim up seeking. And how you can fast? Because we started off to fast when it wasn't Rosh Hashanah. But Ezra is talking about where it's already Ma'uber, says Tosfos and Rashi. If it's Ma'uber, there's no way you start fasting on a day which is Rosh Hashanah. You can't fast. So Dafka the Pasuk, which tells you that you should eat and drink and speak, because it's speaking about a case where it is a full month, that's why they ate and drank. Says the Rogat Shavra, huh? That's why. Look what Ezra says to them. Ichlu bashmanim, ushtum amtakim, vishilchu monos, ki kodoy shayoyim ladoyneinu. That's the key word. The 31st day, you know why it's kodosh? Because it's ladoyneinu. I mean, ashamayim kichu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't sanctify this day. Ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified this day. So there's no point where you're able to start fasting. That's why he says eat and drink. But in a time where it's not kodosh hayoyim ladoyneinu, depends on the bezin down here. So then there's always a point where you can start fasting. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah fast. So he says, Dafka from this pasuk is a riot to those who say you're a lot of fast. I want to conclude with two more points, just to have a, just, yeah, might as well, Muchen, obviously, for Rosh Hashanah. Yeah? In a guten Weg. So Muchen is always coming and learning. So we don't have Muchen a ganz Jahr. Please let me finish. Let the Recheres of the Rogat Shavar. We'll end off with a bang, yeah? And I'm not going to do it to you Thursday again. We'll just make it Wednesday. We'll make it short and sweet. Please excuse me. I know you don't like it. Just for this year, we're going to end off. We're going to schlep it out. I know that's why you don't come the next time. So but I don't care. No. I'm spelling. I'm saying I'm not insensitive. That's what I'm saying. But I think, what can I do? Better. He says a gewaldic thing. Take out a Rambam in Hilchas Shabbos, Perik Chof Tes Halacha Chof. There the Rambam introduces the Nusach HaKiddush, which you say Rosh Hashanah night. Guess what? We know very well that, and that's why I said, look in the, oh, you'll soon come to the pasuk, wait. It's in one, in Vayikra it says Zichron Truah, right? Mikra Kodesh, in Emor. In Pinchas it says Yom Truah Yehilachem, Yom and Zichron. So basically the Gemara says, what's the difference between Yom Truah, the day of a sounding, and or the Zichron Truah, to remember the sounding? So the Gemara says the difference is, if it's Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos or not. Or Rosh Hashanah when it's on a weekday, like this year, Monday and Tuesday. So then it's Yom Truah, we actually sound the shofar. But when Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos, we don't sound the shofar. So it's merely Zichron Truah. Good night and agut yor. So it's only Zichron Truah. Now, the Rambam in the Nusach of the Kiddush puts in the Nusach of the Kiddush of Rosh Hashanah night, he says, Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh. Take out your Siddur. Yeah, that's the Nusach. Comes the Hagois Maimonides from the Chachmei Ashkenaz. He's a student from Aram Rutenberg. And he says, you know, and it seems like he's, sometimes he argues, but here he seems like he wants to give commentary in the Rambam. He says, this is what the Rambam says. You say Zichron Truah is speaking about Rosh Hashanah, which is on Shabbos. And then we say Zichron Truah, like we know that's the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, right? In Simen Tov, where Tov Kuf Pei Beis, whatever, I think, Tov Kuf Pei Beis, that's the halacha, right? We do so, right? But definitely the Rambam is of the opinion that, so it seems from the Agos Maimonides, he's saying it for the Rambam, read it well and you'll see, that if it's weekday, we'll say Yom Truah Yehi Elohim, right? Okay? We'll say Yom Truah. Mm-hmm. But the Rambam is speaking about what? Shabbos. The facts are, and Rambam doesn't say anything about that. The Rambam just says Zichron Truah. Now, interestingly, there's a Shailas Atshuvah say for Trumas Adeshen, for one of the Rishonim, and the Trumas Adeshen raises this issue, and he says, you know, it says also in Rav Haigoin, one of the Goinim also say that you say Zichron Truah. Okay? And this is quoted actually in the Tur in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, and quoted in the Orchis Chaim, etc. Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Trumas Hadeshin himself claims an interesting thing. He says, you know, even in the weekday, right, where you will sound the shofar, but the halacha is by night, you cannot sound the shofar. The Mishnah says in Masechta Megillah, the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar is all day. But if you sound the shofar at night, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. So he says, even for the weekday, it would make sense that you should say Zichron Truah in the Kiddush. Because the Kiddush is said by night. So number one, for Shabbos, you always say Zichron Truah, right? Both day and night. And in the Kiddush, which is by night, so even in the weekday, you'll say Zichron Truah. That opinion, so to speak. And that is the meaning of this Rambam. In other words, Hagois Maimonides wants to say the Rambam is speaking about Dafke Shabbos. Says the Trumas Hadesh, and it's not so simple to say so, right? So therefore he says, no, he's even speaking about a weekday, where Rosh Hashanah is on a weekday, but it's by night, therefore we say Zichron Truah. The halacha is that we will say Yom Truah, even by night, if Rosh Hashanah comes out on a weekday, that's the halacha. But just this is for the Rambam. So the Trumas Hadesh brings that he found one of the Gedolim comment in this Rambam. Now, the Rogatchover Goin doesn't quote no Hagoyes Maimonides, he must have seen it, doesn't quote the Trumas Hadesh, I believe he may have seen it, but B'cholayim, he learns, listen to his pshat, he learns L'das HaRambam that you always say Zichron Truah the night of Yom Tov, not because it's night time. Guess what? He says even more so. He says the Rambam doesn't even bring in a Sefer Yad HaChazaka that you can't blow the shofar at night. There's no such halacha in Rambam. He says, you know why? Because me'olam, Elul is never a full month. Elul is always a short month. And we always have to wait for the Bezdin to consecrate this month. So according to what we've just discussed, Rosh Hashanah only becomes from when they come and thereafter, and it doesn't work retroactively. Therefore, every Kiddush night of Rosh Hashanah, irrespective if it's weekday, Shabbos, it will always be Zichron Truah, not because you can't blow shofar at night. Because it's Bechlal not Begeder Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't have the criterion of Rosh Hashanah yet. Criterion. Because the Bezdin didn't come yet. That's why the Rambam puts in Zichron Truah. Says the Rogatchover in the Michtovei Torah, in a different sefer, in his letter, Samach Aleph, he says, even though our minig is not so, he says, but the Rambam tells us the criterion. And that's the criterion. You should know that Rosh Hashanah night is no more the Zichron Truah. And he always puts in Zichron Truah. I'll tell you what the problem is with it. It's my problem, it's not the Rogatchover's problem. The Rambam also codifies the Nusach HaTfilah. Right? He has, in the end of Hilchas Tefillah, he has the nusach of how the text of the davening. And there he has a text of davening for Rosh Hashanah too, in addition to all the texts, right? And there he puts in a text for davening, which is Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv of Rosh Hashanah. Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. Okay? And it says Zichron Truah there too. According to the Rogatchover, it works very well for the night. It can even work very well for the Shachris, but how does it work for the Mincha and the Ma'ariv? Ma'ariv is the night before. Ma'ariv is the night before. For the Mincha, so some of the ways of reconciling it. We're talking about the one day now, the Pashtus, okay? Now let me just conclude with one more gewaldige tire word. I'm ending with it. The Rogatchover says it. And because he loves it, and we love him. Listen to what he says. The Gemara in Bavli asks a simple kasha. The Mishnah says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, which also practical, we know very well, we blow the shofar, we after the shachris before the musaf, right? Says the Mishnah, therefore, that the Mishnah states so. The Mishnah says that when we say the Hallel, so the first one who's saying the shachris says the Hallel. Says the Mishnah, but the Mishnah Lamed Beis Amud Beis in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. But on Rosh Hashanah, Hasheni Matkia. The fellow is going to go down Musaf, he's the one who blows the shofar, and that's precisely what we do. We blow the shofar by Musaf and not by Shachris. Asks the Gemara, why is it that Hallel we say in the morning and Shachris we say at the end? Says the Gemara. The reason we say Shachris at the end, we blow the shofar at the end, says the Gemara, because of Beroiv Am Hadras Melech, because till people come to Shul, everybody has their shofar. By the time people come to Shul, they don't come there early. But Shachris, they're first coming later, therefore they pushed off the Tkiya shofar for Musaf. Okay? Says the Gemara, if so, Hallel should have also been pushed off. That logic doesn't follow. Says the Gemara, never. So the reason is, why do we say Hallel in the morning? Because of the Shriz and Magdim and Mitzvahs. When you're able to, the first opportunity to say the Hallel is in the Shachris. If so, the Gemara says, if so, we should have blown the Shofar also in the Shachris. Says the Gemara, because of the Gzeras Malchus. There was once an unfortunate occurrence, because they were afraid of the government, which wasn't befriended with the Jewish people. And they were afraid that if they would blow the Shofar, they would have it stop. etc. So therefore they waited for the purity of Shachas to pass, so they should think the davening is over, and only then they blew the shofar. Tosfos even substantiates it even more, that actually it once occurred that they blew the shofar in the morning, and the government was under the impression that they're blowing the shofar to wage war, and therefore they pushed it off for the Musaf, in order that when the non-Jews see that they're actually, it's part and parcel of the prayer, because they're davening and they're laning and etc., all of that, and only then they're blowing, so they see it's part and parcel of the davening, it's a part of their decorum, whatever you call that's it, the routine ritual. So that was okay, therefore it wasn't they weren't worried about it. So that's where it's introduced in the Bavli. It's very clear from the Bavli, and same also, we'll soon come to the Yerushalmi in a moment, that in principle there's definitely room and there's an allowance to blow the shofar in the morning. And the fact is that we always did that. We used to go to, for the people, I mean, as youngsters and even now, if you have to have Yidden to have blow shofar, so you can blow the shofar from the morning, you don't have to wait for the Musaf Dafka. We have to blow the tekiyas on the order of the nine brachas. It's actually, the Ran explains, when the Gemara says we should blow it on the shacharis, we know very well that the blowing has to be in the order of the Shemoneh Esrei with the nine brachas. We don't have nine brachas in the shacharis. So he says, the Ran explains, and the Gemara's question is, why didn't they introduce the nine brachas in the shacharis and blow the tekiyas according to the order of the brachas, etc.? So basically, all of that. But you see, in principle, that there's room to blow the shofar in the morning, and we blow the shofar in the morning if there's a need for someone who has to hear the shofar. And it's very well known, the story with the Alter Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Karliner, which this year is 200 years from the Alter Rebbe's passing, right? Kuf Ayin Beis, a Tufshin Ayin Beis, and he passed away when? Because he was running away from Napoleon, and he, the Alter Rebbe, was one of those Gdolei Yisrael, just about one of the only Gdolei Yisrael, and he differed with very many of the other great sages, but they wanted that Dafka Napoleon should win the war, because they believed that it would be better for the Jewish people materially, that Napoleon will look after the Jews. Dafka, the Alter Rebbe says that he didn't want Napoleon, he felt that Napoleon was a klipper, and was a sitracher, a very harsh words he writes about Napoleon, about his gaiva and his etc., all of that, and he felt that it would be very good for Jews materially, but it would be terrible for the Jews spiritually. And therefore, he, Dafka, was against having Napoleon win, and he prayed, and the whole thing, he ran away from the Liadi, and he died in Kfar Piena, in Hadich, etc., running away from Napoleon. The Russian government helped him, and he even had one of his chassidim who learned French and went into the French into the war and became a soldier and passed on. He was a spy and passed on all the secrets of the Russian government, etc., etc., etc. Guys, it's Emes HaMaisa, because it's all recorded in a handwritten letter of the Mittler Rebbe, his son, who speaks all about it and describes the whole thing. And a new book was just recently now published from a historian, Yeshua Moonshine, who works in the Hebrew University in the manuscript area, and he's just published a new book with all, it's all written up, all this in detail. I just want to conclude that in relation to this, Rav Shlomo Karliner, it was known that they made up, right, they said whoever is going to blow shofar first, right, he will be menatzech, because the shofar was able to break through all the bounds. In other words, all
the rekim,
etc., and all the right to be poel yeshuas, that by blowing the shofar, we're able to do away and cancel out all the negativity, and we bring down and bestow blessing, etc., etc., whatever we're meant to attain with the kriti, in addition to the mitzvah, to attain many great things with it, etc. So it was made up between the Alter Rebbe and Shlomo Karliner, I think it was, whoever will blow first shofar. I don't know, it's questionable who it was, but I'm not sure. Who's going to blow first shofar? So what happened? So if it was Rav Shlomo Karliner, one of the other Gedolim, he got up early in the morning and prepared his minyan, and everybody got together, and they davened quickly through the shacharis, etc., etc., and therefore they blew shofar. What did the Alter Rebbe do, who is known as the Litvak? The Alter Rebbe got up, and before he even started to daven shacharis, they blew shofar right away instead of waiting for the Musaf. So the Alter Rebbe was first to blow the shofar before Rav Shlomo Karliner. They davened quickly. You see, it's very clear that Al Pi Halacha, there's no question, you definitely blow shofar in the morning, especially if you got to do what you got to do, pikuch nefashos. We're moving on. The Iker. So he brings up the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi brings many different reasons on this Mishnah. Why did they establish to blow the shofar and the musaf and not on the shacharis? So one of the reasons brought there is as follows. Listen. One of the Mandomrim say the reason we blow shofar in the musaf is because mitzvas hayoim b'musaf. Mitzvahs hayoyim b'musaf, says the Gemara. There's a posuk. The posuk substantiates your opinion that the mitzvah of the day, which is the blowing of the shofar, is meant to be by the musaf. Why? The posuk says, yoyim truah yihi yelochem. It's a day of sounding the shofar. Now, basically, what does he mean? So according to most commentaries, it means as follows. Take out the Parshas Pinchas. We have the Zichron Krua mentioned in Emor. In Parshas Pinchas, when we talk about the Korbonos HaYoim, right? We say the Yoim Krua Yielachem. Says the Gemara, where does it say Yoim Krua Yielachem? Take the first verse. Pasuk Aleph. It says Yoim Krua Yielachem. Then it says in sequence, Va'asisem Oilel Reach Nichoyach. So what does he say? Mitzvah Hayoim b'musaf. The mitzvah of the day, which is the Yom Truah Yielachem, is b'musaf. Is at the musaf because the Torah puts it connected with the korban musaf. Therefore, we establish to blow the Tkiyah Shofar at the musaf. Okay, that's the simple pshat in this Talmud Yerushalmi. Says the Rogat Shavar Goin. You know what's pshat in this Talmud Yerushalmi based on what we finished saying? When do the Edim come to consecrate, to come and testify and give witness, to give testimony that they saw the new moon? Most of the time they're coming after the Tamid Shal Shachar, even up to 3 hours after the Tamid Shal Shachar, right? Even after 3 hours, only in the period just about by the Korban Musaf, right? Later in the day. And this is exactly what the Talmud Yerushalmi says. Why do we blow the shofar by the musaf and not in the shachris? He says, because mitzvah sayyoyim b'musaf. The mitzvah of the day, which is yoyim tru olachem, you have to sound the shofar by the musaf dafke. What does it mean? The Torah dafke place that we have to blow the shofar by the musaf. Because you cannot blow the shofar before the musaf. Because before the musaf, the Edim never came to say that they saw the new moon the night before. And if that's the case, it's right before Shacharis. B'meila, therefore, if they didn't come before Shacharis, there's no way that period of time has a criterion of Rosh Hashanah that we should say it's Yom Truah. And B'meila, therefore, that's the pshat of this Yerushalmi. So it all follows with the shita of the Rogat Shavar. Nevertheless, like I say, it's just scratching the surface. Have a good yar, a good gebenched yar. It's going to be much shorter Wednesday. Please come Wednesday. It'll be another shir, a very hopefully an interesting.